had a strange phrase as I was talking about this, as we started the series, as I've been studying on it. Here's my phrase, if you know it. Welcome to Lake Wobegon, where the women are strong, the men are good looking, and all the children are. Boy, you guys want to be in the garden. All the kids are above average, right? All the children are above average. And, you know, because you don't want a kid who's not above average, right? You got to figure out some way to make it significant, and that's what we have to do to be significant in our world. You have to be above average, right? We're going to talk about, through this series, about being great and what we really mean by significance, and how significance isn't for later on, it's for right now, and that you are significant, and you need to understand that in the depths of your heart and how you live. You know, we often, you know, when I'm growing up, there's kids that are dreamers, and, you know, they see the world and the opportunities. I was never that kid, right? I was the analyzer who shot everybody's dreams down. That's I remember this one time with this, some of the grade school, sweet little Johnny, you know. What do you want to be when you grow up? And Johnny, you know, I don't know his name, but I'll call him Johnny, because that's what everybody has to call him. So Johnny, you know, he says, I want to be president. You know, I think, what kind of nutcase are you? You can't be president. You're going to be so destroyed by thinking that. What do you, you know what the odds are you're going to be president? That's right. Jesus smiling for this great optimism. I'm thinking, yeah, you know, I'm not a dreamer, right? And part of it is because I think I intuitively understood that I wouldn't, when I started to go down that road, it wouldn't be very helpful to me. See, I was at a spot in which that, you know, I worked pretty hard for B's and C's. I mean, really, I didn't work very hard, but when I tried to work hard, I still had B's and C's. And I tried really hard for lots of sports teams. Second string, every one of them, with all my effort. And I really was trying to believe in myself as much as I could. I just was uncoordinated. Didn't work. You know, I was average looking at best, even though my wife disagrees with that. I tried music. I wanted that. In grade school, I got a trombone. I took lessons. But I quit. I quit after my teacher, this little kid, in the summer, I took lessons. And Midwest music, my teacher, I went in, and after the lesson was done, my teacher reached in his pocket, pulled the money out that I gave him before the lesson, and he said, I don't deserve this, and handed it back to me. And he's the only person that's in reality, so I asked him, I'm glad, because he gave me an excuse. I gave the money back, I should have kept it, but I gave it to my mom, and said, I'm done, you know? And it wasn't like, oh, poor David, that was like just reality. I was really bad on the trombone. You know, and so I look at that, and I find myself in places of realizing that, you know, for me, I was kind of hoping I would, you know, I was a step below Lake Wobegon. You know, I was hoping I could be average. I really worked at that. And so, you know, I think that didn't mean I didn't want to be great, though, right? I just didn't know how to be great. The system seemed great to me. You're great if you're above average, and I wasn't. I was about as average as God. I had certain things I tried to emphasize, but I remember, this is really a kind of a humiliating story, but I'll tell you anyway. I had this image in my mind of going into this junior high back then, middle school now, and they had a middle school pep assembly, and they had this band going, and everybody was cheering, and our class came in late, so we had to come right in front of it all. And even though I'm a cynical person, typically at school and analyzing, I thought, for some reason, I just pretended like they were cheering for me. And I'm telling you, it's the weirdest thing, because this day I remember how good that felt. You know, it only lasted a few seconds, and I realized this is crazy, they aren't cheering for me. But I thought, you know, it feels really good to be significant. I mean, really good. And it wasn't, and it was partly my hormones and my crazy middle school insecurities and all that stuff, my, you know, narcissism, but quite honestly, a lot of it was just the need to feel significant and realizing, gosh, that would be great if I could feel this way more often, right? And it actually would be real. You know, one of the things, when I came to know Jesus, if I think of the biggest impact I had is my life became significant. I mean, I started dreaming of things I couldn't dream of before because it was possible now. stories like, you know, just believe it, you'll be an NBA player. I thought, I don't think this is going to work, you know? But when I met Jesus, I thought, this is possible. Greatness is actually possible. And as I think about that, I realize that I thought about these different verses that Ephesians was a huge verse for me, where it says, now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, that's quite a bit, according to his power is work within us. And he's able to do more within us than we can possibly even come up with, even if we start becoming dreamers. He does more than that. So as you think about that, it's pretty amazing. I remember loving the verse in Corinthians where Paul says, you know, the foolishness of God is actually wiser than human wisdom. The weakness of God is stronger than human strength. Brothers and sisters, think of where you were when you were called. Not many of you were wise by human standards. Not many were influential. Not many were noble in birth. But God chose the foolish things of this world to shame the wise. God chose the weak things of the world to shame the strong. I'm telling you, when I started understanding that, I thought, this is possible. I'm pretty foolish. God's with me. We can do some good stuff here. And you think about the disciples. I mean, they're the ones in this verse we're going to read about. They're always arguing about who can be greatest. And they were just normal people. They were actually probably below average in certain cases. The tax collectors, the sinners, the prostitutes, the people who were following Jesus. You know, some were more noble, like Paul, but most really weren't. And yet what you find is they had this huge impact on life. Their life mattered in huge ways. They had significance that were way beyond they could have possibly imagined. Simply because they came to know Jesus and began looking at the world through a different lens of the kingdom of God. So here's the thing. It doesn't matter if you're educated or uneducated. It doesn't matter what race you are. It doesn't matter if you're a man or a woman or a slave or free or a prostitute or a tax collector or a fisherman or a high-ranking official or a widow that doesn't have any money or a crippled or blind. It doesn't matter how bad you've been. It doesn't matter how bad you are now. God wants to show your significance. He wants you to know that in the kingdom you can be great. Now, you know, great is really just this adjective. It's just an amount, a large amount. It's above average, above the normal. You know, and in the Greek, the word is used out of this translated Greek is megas. You know, it's just, you know, you just want to be megas. You know, when mega, it's just huge, it's big. And there's something in us that longs for that. So I thought, well, I wonder what the world thinks about greatness. You know. The question is, like, is it okay? Is that somewhat strange? I want to be great. Like, what kind of sermon's that, you know? Are we going to cheer you up? You know, you can be great. You know, just do these five steps. You know, that's not what we're talking about. But is it okay to really think I want to be great? I mean, I think what that gets down to is kind of how you define that, right? I looked up Google how they defined it. And I looked at 10 more influential people. So I thought, well, that's great. Those are great people. And so, to give you an idea of some of the people on there, like number three was Lincoln, pretty good. And history, the great in history, that's what they're talking about. So who else, who's number one for the most influential in history? Adolf Hitler. I don't want to be that great, you know? That kind of great I don't want, right? Because you can be the greatest bank robber, greatest gang member, or the greatest scientist. There's a big difference on great. But even in the sense of trying to understand what do we mean by great, we have to understand that, you know, we have to look at it different. And Esquire magazine had the 75 most, you know, best people. I don't know really what best meant with the Esquire. They had a tagline. They said, this is not on their moral ability, but on their talent, achievement, virtue, and especially the qualifications of making us happy. And so, you know, and so on that, you know, you have George Clooney and Robert Downey Jr. and Beyonce and Rupert Murdoch. I don't exactly know what, you know, like, what is our definition of great? It varies a lot. But even when you think, well, I don't mean bad, I mean morally good, life-changing great, just what a person would think, like most people would think, like what does our culture as a whole think of what a good person is, what a great person is, that had positive influence? We still have an interesting way of looking at that, all right? Because we have to understand, we are affected by your culture. we keep thinking we're not. They don't spend all that money on advertising for nothing. You are affected by your culture. And there's a message of what great is in our culture, and we have to start with that, because if we're trying to be great, then we're getting pulled in the wrong direction, and we're defining it incorrectly, it's not going to work, because there is a desire in every human to have find significance, and that's actually God-given, and live out a life that matters, and that's God-given. But the important question is, what is truly significant, and who decides this? I mean, the world, if you look at generally what you're going to find, and there'll be other things as well, but by the world standards, you know, the common, there's variance between cultures of how they define great. There's quite variance between different cultures, but there are some consistent things among all cultures that you'll see. This place of significance, greatness, and what you, is based on what you have, what you possess, and what you do, what you accomplish, right? That's universal. It may look different in different cultures, but in American culture, one of the biggest things is your possessions. If you want to know who's great, who has the most stuff? Who has the biggest bank account? Who has the biggest car? Who has the nicest clothes? Right? That's what great people wear. That's why we do shows on them. And we go look around their houses. And we're awed by those big cars and those big mansions. And those, there's all those particular things, right? But this is for all of us. It's a spot that even if we don't have them, believing that if we could just get, you know, out of the red, if we could just get a 401k, if we could just get into a place where we had a job, if we could just get that, then that would mean we would be more significant, right? If we don't have that, we're less significant in our culture. But we also have this place of physical looks and physical strength, right? You know, if you possess beauty, or if you're handsome like I am, you really are an advantage, right? And if you're deceptive, you know. So, but the reality of this is that you are. If you're better looking in our culture, you're greater. You're viewed as greater. You understand that? You're more significant. It leaves a lot of us in trouble now, doesn't it? And so the other thing is if you're like stronger, you know, you're in shape, you know. Those people in the gym that, you know, are just such in shape, you think, you can tell it's like they're going for something. They're going for something they can be excel at, be above average in, right? And we find ourselves thinking it's good things. But, you know, but it can be a spot that we begin thinking, that is my significance. If you're in better shape, you're more significant. If you're stronger and someone can beat someone up, you're more significant. And how about position and power? It's a spot that you get that raise, or you get that promotion, and you think, I'm a little greater now, you know? I'm a little above. I'm moving up from the average. I'm getting up to maybe above average. We start thinking these kind of things and how we view greatness. And so we find ourselves as we think, oh, yeah, I've now got that degree, or I'm a good manager at a job, first string on the sports team, or I'm the quarterback, or I'm in charge, or I was elected. I have this position now. I have this power now. In that spot, is position and power communicates that we're greater. Now, let me just make sure I'm clear on this. I'm not saying these things are wrong. I love people who excel in the areas that God has given them. If they're gifted in finances, if they're gifted in sports, if they're gifted in music, I love it when they steward that gift and they push it out to the limits. That's God, right? There's nothing. That's right. That's good stewardship. But when it becomes this place, in which these things become a place we say, that is making me significant, that's where it goes wrong. There's this other thing about just all your, you know, it can be anything, your personality, you know, or your intellects, your skills, your gifting, that you find yourself thinking, if I could just get a little smarter, if I could just get a little funnier, if I could just get the skill with people, if I could just exercise my gifting in music or whatever, if I could just get there and have that go to another level, that would give me more significance. And then sometimes it's just uniqueness, right? You know, I've been there. I didn't really have any options. I wasn't super smart or couldn't play music, but I can certainly be different. So that's kind of like different people uniquely made. So it's like, well, I don't follow the thing. I intentionally become different. And that becomes the spot that you think of, the more different I become, the more I become valuable, the more I become significant. And in popularity of faith, huge one. Why is it? And we can't get on American Idol, we still watch it, you know?
this place of, oh, what it would be like to be in front of all these people. Why is fame so attractive? Why do we gear shows around? Because people watch them. Because they understand that maybe I can just jump past all this stuff. Maybe I can just be popular for who I am. Maybe I can do that. Which is not bad to have people like you, right? It's not bad. There's nothing wrong with fame. It's a spot in which the understanding that is not where we find true significance. And so, and the other thing about this is we can quickly see, when you look at these goals, it's going to be really hard to be above average. Especially when you put it on a world scale, it's kind of hard, right? Let's say, for instance, like, I'm going to be a millionaire. I'm going to make it to be a millionaire. And then you realize, oh, there's 11 millionaires. And by the way, there's 1 billionaire, so you're kind of average. You know, millionaire. You don't, and even when you get there, you understand that it doesn't fulfill the things that you were hoping it would fulfill. What I've found is most people, gifted and above average people in their skill mix, great people in their skill mix, people who have average, people who are below average, here's what I found, it's universal. People feel pretty insignificant. I'm trying to not think about it, but they just don't feel like their life makes much difference. Even the top executives are far from us, because they realize it doesn't really work, right? And so you think about that, and this is spotted, it's that, you know, you can be a famous scientist that does amazing things, invents something that saves people's lives. That's amazing, that's good. You can be an artist that becomes popular and famous. You can be a person who oversees and runs, manages a company and becomes a huge success. You can be any of those things, or you can be none of those things, but the reality of it is, it's not going to bring you significance. See, greatness, significance, is not what you have or possess. It's not what you do in the eyes of others, hoping to have them view better so you'll be more significant. That is a trap, and it will never fulfill its promises. No. And so, what Matthew talks about, says this, disciples, there's numbers of stories about this, different ones, different times. He says, about that time, disciples came to Jesus. Who's the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? Now you notice this. Jesus didn't say, quit talking that way. There's no, don't worry about being great, that's terrible. No, he said, Jesus called the child to him and put the child among them. And he said to them, I tell you the truth, unless you turn from your sins and become like little children, you will never get into the kingdom of God. So anyone who becomes as humble as this little child is the greatest in the kingdom of God. Now that's a different take, right? And so what you see, Jesus doesn't say, oh, don't worry about being great. He says, oh yeah, I want you to know your significance. I want you to know what you're made for, and I want you to feel that place of greatness. But you have to understand, you have to turn away from this self-chasing on your own things to try to get yourself to be worth something and putting yourself above others. You have to turn from sin, you have to turn to me, and you have to become like this little child to enter into greatness by becoming part of this kingdom, which is an amazing thing, and to continue on in this kingdom. And it's so simple, but yet it just kind of shakes our world, how we view it compared to how our flesh and our culture is. It's so radical. You know, as you look at these things that are taking place in these, as we go through those, is, you know, it gets to a spot that you realize that, you know, this is really hard to get to be average in any of these places. It's hard to even be average or above average, let alone be great. And then the understanding is that even when if you would accomplish all those things, and that's one thing, is there's some people here who really are above average. We have a lot of people. I've never forget that in church with me as a pastor. I have so many above average people and great people in particular areas. Right? You may be in that category. You may be great in certain areas of your life. Some of you may be above average in certain areas. And some of you are like me, more average. And some of you feel below average in the way the world looks at you. But that's not the way God looks at you. Right? It's not. These unique parts we play, but we have to understand, we have to decide, this way of getting significant is not going to work.
right up front. Because we have to turn from that, it says, and we have to turn to God. And, you know, I think Bill Gates is a good example. I mean, he's an amazing guy, right? He invents the PC, has this Microsoft corporation that goes huge right now. And I'd say that's above average. I would say that's pretty great in the tech business, right? And I think he's doing all right in his finances, too. He's recently he is at $87.9 billion is his net worth. And, but you know, I tried to get Bill in, but he wouldn't come. If I had Bill here, I would guess he would say absolutely a fun ride, but I bet you would say the same thing. It doesn't bring true significance. I think Bill's catching on. Have you noticed Bill lately? It's a little different than he has. He's already given away $44 billion of his money away, but he's continuing to do it every year. Because he's realizing, I think I don't know what Bill's at in his heart, but I'm telling him he's heading more the right direction of greatness, right? Amen. It's not about what he's done. It's not on that. It's not caring for people. It's the things of your heart, all right? Now, so looking at that is that, you know, the kingdom of God, here's the thing about it. The field is level, you know? Everyone here, no matter where you're at, there's no difference in the kingdom of God. You can be great. You can have true significance. Dallas Willard has a great quote. He says, the most important thing about you is not the things you achieve, but the person that you become. When we look at these verses, and this one in Mark 9 is the same scenario where they're arguing and fighting about who's the greatest. He pulls them aside in their house at this point, and he says, whoever wants to be first must take last place and be the servant of everyone else. Now, we can take these simple scriptures of humbling yourself like a child and turning away from our old way of trying to find our worth and our justification and our greatness and turning to Jesus and just being vulnerable as a child and then actually having a life in which that we quit going after ourselves. We begin loving and serving other people. We say, oh, I've heard that 1,000 times. That sounds bad. I don't think that'll work. I think if I do that, I'll lose my life. I don't. And you will. And then you'll find your life. You know? That's why we see this over and over in Scripture. Lose your life for my sake and you'll find it. Humble yourself before the mighty hand of God and he will exalt you. You want to be exalted? There's much in this series we're going to talk about, specifically how he talks about greatness in many other areas. But the starting point is this. The starting point of grace and where it's birthed and where it flows out of you is this. This is where it starts and this is where it continues. In this place, we give up on the system of the world to find our significance. We turn from that. We still steward our gifts the way God wants us to, but it's not for our significance. And we find our significance in God himself by trusting ourselves to him. He wants to show, you're already significant, but he wants you to know it. And you can't know it until you get to it. And you can't get to it if you're chasing something else for significance, right? So we have to turn away from that. It's hard that it's sometimes in our culture. We have to turn back to being a kid and choosing to love people and serve them and not be the first, not raise ourselves up. So, I guess, if you look at these things, is let God talk to you about this. And so what I want to do is just a challenge is, I want you to just look at these things that we talked about. Spend some time with God in a conversation and just ask him about what is it that I am taking, the gift you've given me away of my life, and I'm looking for significance in a way that's keeping it from true significance. Help me understand that. He's so gracious and good. He understands what makes us tick. Right? So I encourage you, even as you're worshiping, yield yourself like a kid to God. And it's exhausting to try to be significant because it's a trick. You try for it, you try for it, it never satisfies true significance. So in this time of worship, turn from that. Turn to God as a child in a servant saying, what do you want? Help me. All right?